Recently, I had the opportunity to go back to Durban Bible College. They asked me to come and speak at a chapel, which loved doing it, loved have that opportunity. And they asked me to come and to speak to the students. But on that particular Saturday, a lot of the students weren't available. So when I got there, I found out I was actually probably speaking more to the staff than the students. So there was a whole bunch of staff and then a handful of students that I was able to speak to. And the principal there, because from what the time that I was there, they were down in Mirbank, and now they're in town. So there's a whole new facility, a whole new place that they are, and a new principal. So there was a new person in charge and a lot of new staff. So it was really a great time to be able to connect with them and to meet all the new people going through all that. And so they asked me the question, talk to the students, talk to us about what was your biggest struggle when you started off in the ministry? So when you got to South Africa, what was your biggest struggle and what do you wish you did better? And most of you know that I am a big fan of discipleship. It's one of my favorite things to talk about and go through. And if I'm honest with you, that would have been the thing that I probably was the least prepared for when I got to South Africa, was being in discipleship. And I really loved the opportunity to be able to talk about my journey through going through discipleship. I was not discipled in any conventional way. Now, my parents did a fantastic job. I'm not downplaying anything my parents did. They were godly parents. They led. They taught us well. They got us into church. They made sure we were around people. If there was a missionary at our church, they were going to be at our house. And my parents just rallied that around and really committed to all of those things. They were youth leaders in our church and all of those things. So that's I grew up just that's how I lived. But I never had any one person who really kind of sat down with me and taught me and went through all of these different things. And that was not anything for me. I think a lot of people made the assumption that, his parents are great and they're doing all these things, so he's probably fine. And I think a lot of times people make certain assumptions that are not true, like as Lishley was saying, that young man who his dad was a pastor and he didn't know how to have a relationship with God. So there's a lot of times we have to kind of go through all of those things. And when I looked back at my life, I can probably name off four, maybe five people who are key parts of my discipleship. They did not disciple me from start to finish, but they had key parts in my life. And I would not be here if it was not for those four or five people. So for me, discipleship looks different for everybody. And how people do discipleship is different from one person to the next. And I'm not trying to say anybody's right or wrong in all of that. You have to do what God calls you to do when it comes to discipleship. But I do think there are some things that we have to be prepared for, things that we have to be ready to do when it comes to discipleship. And I am again reminded, even this morning, Lebo and I were talking even last night, and he was asking me, are you ready for your sermon? And I was like, kind of. I wrestled with this message for a while. And I wrestled through it, and I was like, okay, God, I'm not sure this is the right thing. But it was yesterday, and I was like, okay, I'm committed now. I'm in. I sent Lynette the title, so I knew on Thursday I was committed. But even this morning, I was reminded that, yes, God, you got a plan in all of this, and I'm going to follow through with what his plan is on all of this. And what I want to talk about, and if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 2 Timothy. It's one of my favorite passages. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It revolves around discipleship, which we're going to talk a little bit about discipleship, but something else in particular. But what I want to challenge you this morning is I want you to be ready at all times. And that's really what it is about. Martin and I were speaking this morning, and we were talking about how one of the issues in society is we as Christians, we just sit around. We know there's things to do, but, not right yet, not now. Or just, well, whatever, I'm just going to not ruffle any feathers, I'm just going to sit back. And of course I heard Mandy say, be still and know that I am God. Yes, there's times we need to stand still and appreciate God, but there's also times we've got to stand up. And we've got to make a difference. We've got to be prepared to change people's lives. And again, even this morning I was reminded that, because you never know when it's going to happen. There are times in our lives or situations in our lives, somebody's going to bump into you and they're going to ask you a question. And you got to be prepared for it. We can't just say, I'm not sure about that. Let me study that. Or let me work on that. No, we've got to always be prepared, always ready to give an answer for the questions that are in us. I thought about parents. You know, it's one of those awesome things as parents. It's thank the Lord we don't get teenagers first, right? So when you start off with a baby who can't do anything, can't move, can't, you know, it's one of three things, right? It's either food, dirty nappy, or sleep, you know. We start off with the very simple things, and then it grows from there. But we have to be ready, and as they grow, and as our life grows, and as our impact grows, we need to continue to be ready for what's next. And you never know what's next when it comes to our walk with the Lord. You never know what the situation will be. You may show up at church and somebody come to you and say, hey, I need help with this. You can't say, well, let me think about that and I'll get back to you next week. Right? We have to be prepared. This generation, the Gen Zers, our lovely Gen Zers and Alphas, but Gen Zers, they are known for, one of the things that they are known for is they have more, psychological issues, counseling issues than any other generation. So they're constantly in need. Anxiety, depression, suicide, you name the list. This is what their generation is going through. You know, if we kind of encourage the young people and, you know, what jobs? Counselors, biblical counselors. Because Gen Zers are going to need counselors. Because they're having all of these issues going through all of it. And I'm not here to talk about all those things. But the point is, we have to be prepared for it. You don't know when someone's going to come to you, right? And say, hey, I'm having suicidal thoughts. What are you going to do? Honestly, what are you going to do? Well, I'll get back to you next week and we'll have a good conversation about that. Well, they might not be there next week. Right? We have to be prepared. We have to be ready to go through this. And I think in this passage, and one of the things I want to kind of reiterate, and I'm going to try to say this in the correct way a lot of times, Matthew 28 is the passage that we have been given as Christians, that this is our mission, right? There's two things there, right? Make disciples and then teach them all the things that God wants us to do. The first is to make disciples, right? That's the first one. So that's always evangelism. Alright, and so we are all given this title of a disciple. So if you have ever accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you are a disciple. There's no getting around it. Alright, so that's our title. That's what we have been given. My iPad went off, so I have to like read. So I has to find my face again, right? Alright. So we have been given that title. So if you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. Alright? And so that is the first and foremost thing that we all have to be aware of. We are all disciples. That won't change. That won't go anywhere. You are a disciple. But in that passage, look in that passage. Verses 1 and 2. It says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to sometimes Christians. Is that what it says? Sometimes faithful. It says faithful people. Right? Faithful. So we are all disciples because we have a position with Jesus Christ. Once we've accepted Jesus Christ, we are part of God's family. We are a disciple. That's there, it's nailed. That's it. Now Paul is telling Timothy, I want you to find normal disciples. Is that what it says? I want you to find sometimes disciples. I want you to find faithful disciples. I want you to find faithful people and pass that on to them. And this is what I'm kind of getting to, and I'm kind of going around, long way around. We need to be faithful people now, not later. Yes, you're a disciple. We know where you're going to spend eternity. That's set in stone, no problem. Written in the Lamb's blood, you know, it's done. But what kind of disciple are you? Are you the one who just kind of goes to church every week and sits around and, well, whatever. Well, I know where I'm going to spend eternity. Other than that, I don't really care. And you know what? I'm going to say I have an issue with that. But as long as you're going to heaven, I'm good. Because one day I'm going to see you in glory. Hey, fantastic. But that's not what God's looking for. God is looking for faithful disciples. People who are doing what it is they're supposed to be doing. And trying to do better by themselves. Because one, you never know what's going to happen. Right? So, it's our job as believers, it's our job as Christians to constantly be going after that faithful person. I want to be a faithful person. I'm going to chase down that. I don't know what it necessarily looks like. I don't know how I'm doing, but I'm going to start going after that because I can't wait for another situation. I have to be ready today. And life throws things at us all the time. Life throws all kinds of situations at us all of the time. And we need to be ready. We can't say, well, when the time comes, then I will do it. Or when I feel like it. Or when, you know, when a situation arises and I need to know something, then I'll go study it. No, we have to be ready all the time. And that's what Paul was going after with Timothy. So I want you to find those people who are trying their best to do what it is they're trying, what they're supposed to be doing. Not just those sitting back and sitting there doing nothing. And so for me, that key word there is faithful. We need to be faithful. We need to be somebody who is trying to do what it is that we're supposed to be doing. And there are a lot of people out there who are not really considered faithful. They are a disciple because they've accepted Christ. But beyond that, no, I'm not willing to go any further. And unfortunately, and that's what Martin and I were talking about, there's a lot of Christians today that are in that boat. I know where I'm going to spend eternity, and beyond that, I don't really care. Even Paul came across people like that. And he had issues with certain people. In the book of Acts, Acts chapter 15. So this is where Paul and Barnabas had their issue, right? They had a little fight. They had a little, I'll say a little tiff, but the passage actually says, where is it? They had a sharp disagreement. So it wasn't just a little tiff. It was a pretty big deal. Let me read this. In Acts chapter 15. Now, Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark, but Paul thought it best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed off, and Paul took Silas and departed. Right? So they had this big divide. They had this separate. Now, in Paul's defense, John Mark, he quit. They were in ministry. They were doing things. And it was just too much for him. So he called it quits. He said, I'm out. I'm done. I'm giving up. I'm going to go home. And off he went. All right. Now, in defense of Barnabas, John called Mark, was a family member. So he's really committed to him. But also Barnabas is a really encourager. He is a discipler by heart. Paul would not be where he was without Barnabas, because he's the one who went when he was still Saul, Paul, and said, hey, yeah, he's saved. We need to let him in. Right? So Barnabas is an amazing guy going through all of this. But he stuck with him and went through it all. And I think it's important as we go through this, not only did Paul go through that type of situation, but also Jesus went through this type of situation. I thought of the rich man in Mark chapter 10. So the rich young man is having this conversation with Jesus. And Jesus says, did you do all these things? Did you obey all the commandments? Like, did you obey all the commandments? Did you honor your father and mother? Did you do all this? And the young man says, yes, absolutely, I did all this. I lived all of this all my life. And I love in that passage in Mark 10, as he's going through it, he says, and Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said this. And he said, now I want you to go take everything you own, take all you have, sell it, and give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. And the rich young man walked away disappointed because he wasn't willing to do that. He was willing, I want to be a disciple, but I'm not willing to go that far. So he kind of took a step back and said, nope, sorry, I'm not going to follow you. I'm going to be a disciple, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, but I'm not willing to commit all in. So Jesus went through that. And there was another one. Jesus went through one of the disciples in Matthew chapter 8. And another disciple said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, follow me. Leave the dead to bury their own dead. So this disciple was like, I want to follow you, Jesus. Yeah, I want to go with you. But first, let me go home and bury my father. Now, a little backstory on that. His father's not dead. But he wanted to go back and take care of his family. What Jesus is saying is, let the dead take care of the dead. Let them take care of themselves. You just follow me. Give up everything and follow me. And this disciple does what? Takes a step back. No, sorry, God. Not willing to do that. I'm only willing to go so far. I want to do this, but I'm not going to go that far. And he walks away. Now, Jesus, he knew the exact questions to ask. He knew the right people. He knew their hearts. And right, we even know there's Judas, right? But there was a plan in that. But Jesus knew exactly right. Paul, he didn't have that advantage. Paul was just, you know, just a guy trying to do the best he can. And he's reaching out to people. And Paul did a really great job of discipling Timothy and Titus. And I'm sure there's some other ones going through that list. But even he went through those struggles. And he had at times where he just had to, okay, God, I don't know, but I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to look for the best things that I can possibly find. And he had that Mark situation. But later on in the Bible, we actually find that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, says this, Luke alone, this is Paul speaking, Luke alone is with me. Get Mark, that's John called Mark, get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me in the ministry. So first he said, nah, we can't take him with us anymore. Barnabas keeps on at him, encourages him, disciples him, works his way through that. And eventually Paul comes back to the idea like, you know what? He is good. But somebody had to work with him. Somebody had to prepare him. Somebody had to work through all of those issues. Again, it brings me back to the idea or the concept that Paul comes to and says, faithful. Look for faithful people who they can instruct. I believe we all should be discipled. I believe we all should be discipling people. And I think it's important that we all fulfill the mission of reaching and making disciples and teaching them. But we need to be the faithful people first before we can start doing those things. It's important for us to be prepared, to be equipped, and to be ready at any moment that God asks us to do these things. And he has already asked us. And that's kind of the crazy part of this, the roundabout circle of all of this. We've already been asked to do this. We've been asked to make disciples and to disciple people. But we aren't really ready or equipped or prepared to do it because, for lack of a better term, I'm going to say, because we're lazy. Because we don't take time to do the things we're supposed to be doing. I'm going to keep my eyes down because I'm going to get in trouble with this one. So I know this to be true because this morning when we went around to do verses, yeah, very few people shared a verse. We're too lazy to spend time memorizing verses. How can we be prepared? How can we be labeled as a faithful person of God when we don't even care about knowing the scriptures? And we know it's true because of situations like that. Now, when we go through this passage, just after all of that, after verses 1 and 2, all the way through on all of chapter 2, Paul gives us a great examples or some illustrations of what a faithful person looks like. I have no chance of getting through all of them this morning, so I'm going to do two, and maybe someday Pastor Louis will let me preach again, and I'll do two more, and we'll do two more until we finish. But here's the whole list. All right, the first one is a steward. Second one is a soldier. Those we're going to do this morning. Number three is an athlete. Four is a farmer. Then a workman. Then a vessel. And then a servant. And so that's the illustrate. Those are the things that Paul was using to illustrate what a faithful person looks like. And he wants us to look at those characteristics as we go through those and to understand them. Now, there's a little bit of backstory in all of this. If you have read 1 Timothy and up to this passage, we would all already be aware and know that Timothy was Paul's spiritual son. Paul led Timothy to the Lord. All right, and so in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, it says, thou therefore my son. So he's referring to him as his spiritual son. So he knew his status in his walk with the Lord. He knew he was, remember the label, the disciple. He was a disciple because he had accepted Christ as our personal Savior. And for me, before you can get to any of these faithful characteristics, that has to be the first thing. You have to be a disciple. And I recently read a book, and I actually gave the book to Pastor Louis. I don't know if he's read it yet or not, but we'll find out. On discipleship, rediscovering discipleship. And the guy made a comment in there, and I was almost kind of like, you know, I'm not sure I want to agree with that. But he made the statement, you can't disciple someone unless they are a disciple. And I was like, but surely I could spend time with them and study the Bible. That might be how they become a disciple. But he's saying to the true what it is discipling someone, it's based on their first, their relationship with Jesus Christ. And if they have no relationship with Jesus Christ, you're just having a really nice Bible study. And in that book, he kind of made the point, Bible study is not discipleship. Discipleship is really pouring into a disciple's life. And so I wanted to disagree, but I had to agree. And I kind of do agree. It all is based first and foremost on your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you've never accepted, Pastor Lou shared this a moment ago, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, don't leave this morning without knowing for sure you are a part of God's family, that you are a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ. That has to be the biggest thing. As a parent, that's the biggest prayer we have for our children, that they accept Christ. As aunts, uncles, grandparents, future grandfather soon to be, that's one of my prayers now, that my grandchild will accept Christ. That is the most important thing, and that's something that we always are praying for and making sure that it goes through. And it reminds me of the old acronym ABC, admit that we are a sinner. That's what we really have to do. We have to admit that we are sinners. We are lost without Christ. We broke the relationship that God had intended by sinning, by doing something contrary to the Word of God. We must admit that we are a sinner. And then second B, we need to believe in what Jesus Christ did for us. He went to the cross. He took on the burden. He took on the penalty of our sins. And he paid that penalty freely. He took that. And he went to the grave. But he did not remain in the grave. He rose again. He had victory over death. And because he has victory over death, he can give us life, eternal life. And then the last one is C, we need to confess. We need to say it out loud with our words. I believe this. And once you do that, you become a disciple or a child or son or daughter of Christ. We got to know our status. If you don't know where you're at, it's really hard to progress past that. So I, again, challenge you this morning. Don't leave this morning without talking to someone. But then it's from there that Paul says, okay, now, I know your status. Paul's like, Timothy, I know your background. I know your grandmother. I know your mother. I did all this stuff with you. I know all of this. You are my child. And now I want you to find these people. I want you to find faithful people who can pass all these things along. And so he gets into the illustrations. And the first one is being a steward or a stewardship. And we actually have that still in verses 1 and 2. A steward or a stewardship makes the most out of everything that you are given. And it would be simple to kind of go into a lot of illustrations or examples of all of these things. But I want to kind of stick with what's in the passage. Paul actually focuses on two things for Timothy when he goes through this. First is grace. And the second one is without being prideful, I'd say, you know, Paul's like, you had me as a mentor. Right? So you have everything that I taught you, everything, all the time I spent with you, I don't want you to waste that. I want you to use it. Right? And so he's talking about these two things. So Paul talks to Timothy about being a good steward of those two in particular things. And we could go on, there's a whole bunch of other things, but that's what he went through. In the book, Dane Ortlund, Gently and Lowly, if you've never read that book, I would encourage you to read it. Just a fantastic book when it comes to understanding what it is that God gives to us, what Christ has given to us. He said this, and this is part of this when it comes to grace. This is a little bit of a long quote, so bear with me. And just as we can hardly fathom the divine ferocity awaiting those outside of Christ. So he was talking about, beginning of this, he was talking about either people who know Christ or those who don't know Christ. And just how passionate God is about those. And so it says, and just as we can hardly fathom the divine ferocity awaiting those out of Christ. So that's time and hell, how bad hell will be. It is equally true that we can hardly fathom the divine tenderness already resting now on those in Christ. We might feel a little bashful or uncomfortable or even guilty to emphasize God's tenderness as intensely as his wrath. But the Bible feels no such discomfort. Consider Romans 5, verse 20. Where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. The guilt, the shame of those in Christ is ever outstripped by the abounding grace. When we feel as if our thoughts, words, and deeds are diminishing God's grace towards us, Those sins, those failures, are in fact causing it to surge forward all the more. When I used to think about grace and mercy, it was like a bottomless pit. Right? It's like, you know, we can never get enough out. That's a terrible illustration, to be quite honest. Because you can't measure it. It can't go in a pit. I don't care how bottomless it is. God's grace, God's mercy is endless. And when we think, oh, well, I've done this and I don't deserve it anymore, that's when it even gives more. We can't stay. And that's the grace that Paul is telling Timothy. You have been given grace. And because you have been given grace, I need you to do this. I want you to go find faithful people and disciple them and bring them along. That should be a motivation for us as well. Because the same grace that Timothy has is the same grace you have. And that should motivate you to go out and do something about it. Not to sit back and say, well, that's somebody else's job. Or, well, I don't know anything about that one. Or, oh, I'm too old, or I'm too this, or I'm too that, or whatever it is. Grace should motivate you to go and do something. Or you don't appreciate the grace you have. The other one that he got into here was his time with Timothy. His training. He received knowledge, experience, and opportunities to serve God, all because of he spent time with Paul. And Paul sent him to the church of Ephesus. He says, hey, I want you to go to this church because they need you. And here's a letter saying, hey, Ephesus, accept Timothy. He is one of my guys. So there was privileges that came from the fact that he spent time with Paul. And Paul wanted him to acknowledge that and understand it. And I don't think that's a pride thing. I don't think Paul was trying to be prideful in that. I think he was trying to tell him, hey, you've been privileged to have these opportunities. And there are people out there who don't have these privileges. It made me think of Battle Zone Camp that we just went through. Right? And one of the key thoughts that we were trying to challenge the kids with was that we have the whole Word of God. We have it all, right? Start to finish. We know the whole thing. And we were reading in our quiet time the other day, even Satan quoted it. When he was tempting Jesus in the wilderness, Satan quoted Scripture. He twisted it a little bit, but he knows this. He knows the end of the book as well. Right? And so we challenged the kids, you got to know this. We have, and I use the term, we have a smorgasbord of Bibles all around us. I mean, you can't go anywhere without your Bible because it could be in your phone. I even shared the other time I was here, I got a whole bunch of Bibles because I like to collect them. And I like to have ones for different reasons or different this. We have a smorgasbord of Bibles. We have full access to Bibles and commentaries and all kinds of information. But yet, we really know so little. Really, we don't know much when it comes to knowing the Word of God. We are privileged, but we have squandered that privilege by not spending time in the Word. And again, how do I know that? I'm going to look down again. Because when we memorize our verses, nobody has any verses to say. It's evident. We've got to stand up, we've got to move, and we've got to say, hey, I'm going to do something different. I want to be a faithful person, a faithful disciple. And it's not just like magic fairy dust, like poof, you're faithful, good job, woohoo. No, we got to do the work. We got to get up, we got to do something. We got to make it happen. We got to make these things obvious in our lives. So are we a good steward when it comes to what God has blessed us with? Are you a good steward of the smorgasbords of Bibles that you have? Or are you just, well, it's always there. I can Google search Bible verse on, and it'll spit out all kinds of things. Oh, I'll just depend on that. No, we got to know it. We got to spend time in it. We've got to be there with it. The second one was a soldier. And there's a lot more in steward that I would love to talk about, but time's running out, and I'm only doing two, so I have to keep moving. The second one was soldier. And this one really even was hitting me this morning. To fight the good fight. It was in verses 3 and 4. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in the civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. All right, so if I break that down, first thing I want to make clear and make sure everybody, who is our commander? Our commander is the one who saved us. Jesus Christ is our commander. We are in God's army, and Jesus is our commander. So that, just so we're clear, that's what it says. You are a soldier of Jesus, of Christ Jesus. So if you are a disciple, if you ever accepted Christ as your Savior, you are a soldier, and you are in the army, God's army, and Christ is your commander. So we have to follow his commands and do what it is that he has asked us to do. And he has asked us to do two simple things: make disciples and to teach them. Those are the commands that we have been given. I don't want to make it any harder than it is, but those are the two things that he has ultimately asked us to do. And we have to be in that battle. We have to be pursuing that battle. One of the things that it says right in the beginning is share in the suffering. And we all go through hard times. We all go through tribulations. We all go through difficulties. And you are probably in amongst one, even in your own life right now. There's something that's causing trouble for you. There's something that has an issue for you. And you're going through that right now. And Paul says to Timothy, share in the suffering. And I'm like, wait a minute, what does that necessarily mean? Paul is in jail, and Timothy is in Ephesus, and he's struggling. But they're both struggling. Both these guys are going through hard times. But they're sharing in this because it's not because of them they're suffering. It's because of their walk with Christ that they're suffering. It's because of the mission that they have been given that they're suffering. And God allows us to go through a lot of that suffering all the time. John 16:33 says this: in the world, which everybody here lives in the world, right? Everybody got that? In the world, you will have tribulation. All right? So there's no secret. It's all out there. It's all very bold. We will go through tribulation. We will go through hard times. As Christians, we are in enemy territory. And so we will suffer. We will go through all of these things. But let me read that whole passage. That I just took a little chunk there. Let me read the whole thing. And this is Jesus talking. He said, I said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart. I have overcome the world. We know the end of the story. We know that we will share in the suffering of Christ. We know that we will go through this, but we know it's only temporary. We know at the end there's peace, there's hope, there's joy at the end of all of that. And we're only here for a very short period of time. So it's important for us to remember, yes, we're going to share in that same suffering. And we're going to go through all kinds of craziness. But it's about having the right perspective on it. And I thought of a soldier. Now, I was never in the military. But, you know, I suppose I've watched enough, you know, war movies or played games. Or you can ask Pastor Louis, but I'm sure this is probably true. And all of those things. But soldiers go through all kinds of struggles. When they're in battle, they're going through all kinds of struggles. But they can't stop. They can't quit. They have to keep moving forward. They have to continue to follow the commander's request or commands and keep pressing on. In this passage, I don't find anywhere where Paul says, well, try to avoid or dodge or miss some of these trials. Or maybe you can do something to lessen them. He didn't say anything along those lines. He's like, hey, let's share in this, but we're going to get our way through this. We're going to put our heads down and we're going to walk right through this. We're going to do it together. And that's what a good military, a good soldier does. They got to press their way through it. They got to get through all of these things. In 1 Peter chapter 4, it says this: Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trials when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange was happening to you. Don't be surprised when they come, right? But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Why do we go through suffering? Why do we go through it? Because Christ did it with us, and we're doing it together. And at the end, there's going to be peace, joy. God's glory is going to be revealed. So we've got to get through it. We've got to go through all of those things. A good, faithful disciple marches on right through it and keeps going forward. The other thing he said in here is entangled with the civilian affairs. And I had one thought on this. A little while ago, while I was preparing this, that I would go through all of this and things, but I think God's kind of hit me with another one going in here. We often get distracted by the things that are around us. We get distracted by what's happening, or we get distracted by what the world has to offer us. And we begin to lose track of what it is that we're supposed to be doing. We lose our focus on the mission. And we lose focus on each other. And we kind of become more inward thinking. Remember, the mission is simple. Make disciples and teach them. Right? It's not difficult. But does that mean we all have to become missionaries and pastors? That would be kind of fun, wouldn't it? Right? Yeah. But no, that makes no sense. Right? Me as a missionary, you guys go places I will never get to go. Because you have jobs, you do this, you do that, you do all kinds of other things. So there are a lot of places you're going to go that I can't go because I have chosen to be a missionary and this is my role. And you're going to go meet people, connect with people that I will never connect with. And that is perfect. That's exactly how God intended it. But what we have to remember is, and I've said this before, your job does not define you. What defines you is that you are on mission for God. And God has called you to go to that mission field and to be a light in that dark world. To connect with those people, to talk with those people. That's your job as a soldier. And you have to do the best you can. And you have to be diligently trying to do the more you can as possible. Romans 12 verse 2, probably many of you know this. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are not to be of this world. We have to be in this world, right? That's our mission. Our mission is to be in this world, to share the gospel. But we are not to be of this world. We are not to be like this world. We are to be different than those around us. People should look at us and say, hey, that guy, that lady is different. I wonder why. Let me tell you why. We cannot be distracted by what the world has to offer. And that's the problem. I think that's part of our laziness. That's part of our indifference. That's part of our being detached to the people around us, is we like the things around us. And we want to have more of that stuff. And we are easily distracted. Luke 8 verse 14 says, And as for what fell among the thorns. Oh, this was in our quiet time. This was in our quiet time yesterday. I crammed this in here last night. This was in our quiet time. So Jesus was talking about the sowing of the seeds and the four different places. And one of them was the thorns. When the seeds are thrown amongst the thorns. And this is when he is describing or defining what he meant to the disciples. This is what he said. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by, catch this, the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. So, obviously, those things distract us. Because Jesus gave a whole section to that whole group of people. Yes, they have been planted. Yes, they are a disciple. But as soon as they go on their way, easily distracted. Easily lose focus, and it ends there, and their fruit does not mature. Another one, and this one's a little bit harder for us to look at it. In Titus 1 through 16, it says, they profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. That's the people who get distracted. They deny. I can tell what you believe by what you do. Right? And all right, I'm going to look down again. I know when you don't stand up and quote verses, you've been distracted by something else. or maybe, church is an option for you. Well, I'll attend when I feel like it, or when I want to. Because there's other things that are more important to me. I'm easily distracted by whatever the world has to offer. And I allow that to be in my life. Right? For a long time with youth ministry, it was always one of my pet peeves that parents would use youth as a punishment. Like, you will not get to go to youth if you... I'm punishing you. And the punishment is you can't go to youth. And if you've done that, I'm sorry. I'm not looking at you. But that's a terrible thing to punish your kids with. Right? That's a good thing. Take away the pleasures of the world from them. Not the things of God. If anything, make them come to church. Make them come to youth. That's a fight worth fighting. If you have teenagers, which I do, and I'm not looking at Maya, Nobody, Marissa, Brandon, you know, all of my kids, and even those in my house, you know, there are certain fights that are worth fighting. And you got to fight those fights. And they're not going to understand it, but you know what? It's a fight worth fighting. And we've got to fight those things. We cannot let the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life distract us from what it is we're supposed to be doing. If I finish that verse, they profess to know, but they deny him by the works. Listen to how this is described by Titus. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. So the people who are distracted are detestable, disobedient, unfit. I hope that's not what describes you. I hope what describes you is a faithful person of God. All right, let me close this off and I'll be done. Whew. I'm only 2 minutes over. Shorter than Pastor Louis, so y'all have no idea. All right. First off and foremost, please today know where you are, your status in the army. Are you in the army or are you not? Are you a child of God or not? Don't leave this morning without knowing for sure that you are a part of God's army, that you are a son or a daughter of Christ. Make sure that that is done today. Are you a good steward? You have so many blessings. We have a great church here. We have a fantastic church. Great pastor who teaches the Word of God. We have a great youth ministry that is reaching out to young people. We have so many privileges as a church. Don't squander those. Get involved. Step up and say, no more will I just let other people do it. Be a good steward of what God has given you, what God has blessed you with. Right? One of the things I'm going to say, and this is a bit of a confession as well, the Missions and Outreach Committee. I've been in charge of that for quite a while. The missions part, got that one. We're pretty good there. All right, a few things we got to work our way through. But that outreach one, we haven't done much. But we're going to change that. Right? Nebo back there, he doesn't even know this. So Nebo back there, he is a gifted evangelist. You know, so he and I are going to start trying to do this stuff. You know what? And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be a little transparent, probably get myself in trouble again. We're going to do this, and you know what? The same few people will come. The same people always come. Because they're the ones who are, and dare I say it, they're the faithful ones who want to see that. But you know what? Then there's the rest of you who never come. You're easily just, well, it's Saturday morning. I need to do the lawn, or I need to do this, or I got laundry, or I got, you know, I'm going to spend time with my family, and that's a great thing. But we're so easily distracted from what it is we're supposed to do. We got to stop being distracted. We got to get out there and we got to do it. That serve thing. I got tricked into that group. I just want to be aware. I don't want to know. I was tricked to be a part of that. So somebody came to me. I won't name names because I don't want to pick on anyone. Somebody came to me and was like, here, try this link. I want to see if this works. Okay. Now I'm in a group. All right. But there's a lots of opportunities. HBC is coming. I mean, you name it. There are opportunities here. If you aren't serving, it's your fault. Not this church. You have so many opportunities. You have so many experiences, so much knowledge, so much privilege being here. If you're not doing something, it's your fault. You're making a choice to sit and wait and not do anything. It's you. It's not the church, because we are going crazy. We're trying to do as much as we can. But the same few people come every time. Why do not the rest of us come? We got to get involved. So be a good steward of all of that. And then be a good soldier is the last one. Right? Follow the commands of our commander. And he has given us a simple task. Make disciples and teach them. Are you prepared to teach somebody? That's what a faithful person would be. Prepared. Well, it's kind of like parenting. Well, I'll start off with a baby, and then I'll grow as I go through it. That sounds like a pretty good idea, but we can't just wait for those, because you never know when someone's going to come to you and say, hey, I'm thinking about suicide, or I'm thinking about doing this, or I'm thinking about those things. We've got to always be ready, always be prepared to be able to do that. And a good soldier is constantly prepared. That's why they practice. That's why they have drills. Because they want to be ready, because they never know when the war is actually going to happen. And they never know when the commander is saying, you're going to go do this. Are you loyal to your commander? There's soldiers who will follow follow orders, but there are loyal soldiers who will die for their commanders. And for me, that's the faithful person. You may be a disciple and just, I'm here, I'm good, I'm in the army, but I'm going to kind of be the supply guy in the background. You know, or are you that loyal soldier who's willing to die for what the commander has asked you to do? I'm willing to sacrifice for what he's asked me to do. And that's what a good soldier does. Are you a good soldier? Or are you a faithful disciple? Or are you just along for the ride? Let me close off in a word of prayer, and I will be done. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity of being in your house. And Lord, I know that this passage and these characteristics, we only got through two of them, but Lord, what a challenge in our own lives. What a challenge in my life. Lord, I've had a very spiritually privileged life, and I've been taught many things over the many years, and a lot of people have invested in me, and I am so thankful for that. And Lord, I pray that you will help me to not squander that, but Lord, to use it to further the gospel, to fulfill the mission that you have given us. And Lord, I pray for everybody in this church as well. Lord, I pray that all of us, that we will not squander the gifts that you have given us, that we will not squander the privilege that you have so blessed us with. And Lord, help us to stand up and to move forward and to obey the commands that you have given us. Lord, help us to be faithful disciples of Christ. In your precious name I pray. Amen.